Welcome to the Real Estate Espresso Podcast, your morning shot of what's new in the world of real estate investing. I'm your host, Victor Menashe, and this is the weekend edition where we interview notable people from the world of real estate investing, economics, and all of the things that are interesting.
But first, let's say a thank you to our sponsor. The Real Estate Espresso Podcast is brought to you by International Coffee Farms. Based in Boquete, Panama, International Coffee Farms owns and operates 10 specialty coffee farms. These farms are subdivided into half-acre parcels. These half-acre parcels can be purchased for as little as $18,000. Your land will be managed on your behalf and will be producing positive cash flow in perpetuity. I've gotten to know the principals of International Coffee Farms over the last several years, and they run a quality operation. Have a listen to episode 121 with CEO and founder Mr. David Sewell, where we talk about investing in coffee farmland in a safe, diversified offshore investment. Find out more by visiting internationalcoffeefarms.com. That is internationalcoffeefarms.com.
Welcome back. We have two very special guests today, folks that I consider to be dear friends. We have none other than Chris Martinson and Adam Taggart. And welcome to the show.
Well, thanks, Victor. It's good to be here.
It's a real pleasure. Thanks for having us, Victor.
You know, we talk an awful lot about what's happening in the macro economy. We talk an awful lot about, you know, what's happening with interest rates and things like that. And as real estate investors get tunnel vision around what, you know, what our world is, you take a much, much bigger picture. And, you know, when I got introduced to both of you last year, it certainly opened my eyes, changed my life, and just would love to share that with my listeners. So maybe if you can just start with, you know, some of the core principles. I know you've gone both through a bit of a journey coming from a very similar background from corporate America and saying, you know what, this is messed up. We need to change this.
Well, that's exactly right, Victor. Both Adam and I did work corporate existences, and that's how I'm going to phrase it for now. I was not super happy as a corporate person, but we both did well. We both ended up at vice presidents of large corporations and eventually came across this information that we're now sharing with the world that you ran into last year. We operate a site called Peak Prosperity, and there's the main offering, if you will, the centerpiece is something called the Crash Course. And that takes a look at a really broad, big picture view, like you're saying. And if you have that tunnel vision, Crash Course is a great way to get grounded in some really important concepts, stuff that honestly everybody should know, including things like money and money creation. How does banking actually work? What does inflation look like through the long sweep of time? I think it's really essential to have those grounding bits. And it goes further, though, and it says, hey, here's all this economic stuff, but you can't look at that in isolation. You have to also understand the role of energy and where the environment fits in. So that's what that offering does. It weaves all three of those things together. And so that's sort of problem definition, and that's where it starts. Of course, our website goes much further than that.
I've introduced people that are clients, friends, directly into the Crash Course, and without exception, they've said, oh my goodness, this is amazing. And it's really had a huge impact on them. And so, you know, like you, I feel compelled to carry the message and spread it as far as possible.
Well, thanks very much. And this is Adam here. You know, as Chris mentioned earlier, we think that this is information that just needs to be out there in the world. In many cases, it's just information that the average person is not hearing in the mainstream media. And in fact, they're getting a different narrative where that, you know, we're back in recovery, that everything's going great. Tax reform was just passed, only smooth sailing from here on out. And you know, from the data that we look at, we think the likelihood is much, much higher. You know, continued economic slowdown, and we think there's an unacceptably high risk that we might see a pretty large market correction.
Yeah, that I agree with that completely. And you only need to look in Europe, for example, to see how the middle class has shrunk and how salaries have been compressed, standard of living has been compressed, you know, and it's happening here in America as well.
I was going to say, we don't have to look to Europe solely for that. I think it's a big reason.
They're leading the way, but it's happening.
Oh, absolutely. And I think it's a big part of the Trump victory, and not making a political statement. I just think that was largely a vote for anything but the status quo, because people are hurting so much here.
Talk a little bit about the relationship between economic growth and energy. That's one of the, let's say, untold stories that somehow is not getting any press. And yet when you come to that realization, it's one of these inescapable truths.
Well, it certainly is. This is Chris again. So you know, I've got all this economic data that I sort of live by. I'm a scientist by training, so I like the data. A lot of, you know, if you come to one of my talks, there'll be some charts, right? And some of these charts really speak out loud, some shout, and you're talking about the one that I think shouts the loudest. And of all the economic data I have, this one is just almost perfect, meaning it's a dead straight line. You get one unit of this, you get one unit of that, and that is energy and economic growth. So it may make sense if you say, what is the economy? Well, it's this shirt I'm wearing, it's the food that's on the table. All of that had to get there because somebody manufactured it using energy, transported it using energy. So once you can see with the energy lens, as it were, you'll just see it everywhere. So it's pretty clear, it's pretty obvious and intuitive. Of course, we need energy to grow the economy. Now, the problem in this story, or maybe the predicament, is that the whole world is ready for infinite growth. And that means we need infinite energy. Well, that's why I ask people to wander with me over to the energy world. And I say, here are the realities. Oil's getting harder and harder to find. We're still finding it. But, you know, you can look at the tar sands in Canada. You can look at the shale plays in the United States, the ultra deep water. In every one of those, oil discoveries or things that we're prosecuting out are more expensive. And as that energy gets more and more expensive, harder and harder to find, that's going to really pinch on economic growth, which we've seen, right? The last decade has seen economic growth in about the 2.5% range. That's way below global averages. Economists are like, well, what is this? Could it be the debt? I think, yes, it's the debt, but it's also the energy story. And once you see that, it really informs pretty much everything you need to know about where the future is going to go.
So much of the narrative is around, well, new technology will replace oil. Is that a little too optimistic?
Well, it really is. You know, I understand the hope. I understand the desire for it. But the reality is there just aren't that many electric cars on the road right now. We don't really have the capability, even if there were all electric cars on the road, to create enough electricity for them. We don't have the infrastructure. There's a lot of work to be done. The opportunity in this story, of course, is that there will be a lot of investment going into these other energy forms. But one thing I'm positive of is we're not going to use alternative energy to exactly replace the life we have.
When you look at a, let's say, a chart of transition of technologies, you know, from radio to television, from televisions, you know, the addition of VCRs and so on, these timelines are incredibly long. And even, you know, from coal to oil and from oil to what's next, you know, these timelines are really, really long historically. How are we going to be able to manage this?
I think in many cases we're not, is the answer, unfortunately, because the time to have started with this was when Jimmy Carter put on his cardigan in the White House back in the 70s and said, hey, we really have to start thinking about this and we need to invest differently. That would have been the time. We've squandered the last 40 years, I think, pretending we can just sell F-150s and Chevy Tahoes and call it a day. But so we're really not prepared for it. Guess what? You know, we'll manage, but I think a lot of people are going to be disappointed with just how that turns out. And so I think your investors need to know about this because, you know, in this story, if you see it this way, and we can disagree once you've seen the data, but if you look at it and you say, wow, oil's going to get a lot more expensive. Now you have to start answering questions like, what does this mean if gas is now twice as expensive? How do people's driving habits change? Does this change where people want to live, eat, work, play? Are they still going to be in their cars all the time? You know, so a lot of things really fall off of this, a lot of implications.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So let's talk a little bit about how do you prepare for this? What does this mean in terms of how you set up your life? I mean, if our traditional definition of standard of living is going to change, what does that mean?
So at Peak Prosperity, we basically place all of our focus on helping people address that question. So we typically, while we have a lot of data and guidance that we can offer to people on the business side, we generally are talking to people specifically as individuals there. And first and foremost, you know, when people are confronted by the data that they see in the crash course, their initial reaction is to say, well, you know, I've trying to prepare a financial future for my family. I've worked hard to build some wealth. How do I make sure I don't lose what I have, right? So we start by addressing that acute concern. There's a lot of things that people can do to protect their financial wealth. One of the very important parts about our worldview, though, or our definition of wealth, is that it's much broader than just money. So we use a framework called the 8 Forms of Capital, where we help people understand that true wealth really expands a much wider spectrum. And if there's one word that I could put my finger on to say what we're about here, it's developing resilience. Meaning a lot of the big trends that Chris just summarized, they simply mean the future is going to be different from what we're used to. There's probably going to be some transitions in there that are going to have some surprises for us. So if you've invested in resilience, you've basically reduced your vulnerability to whatever may happen and increased your odds of bouncing back from them and perhaps even prospering from them. So to prosper, to enter this future with prosperity and with optimism, we again direct people to this 8 forms of capital framework. And these are things like, you know, once you've gotten your financial house in order, it's investing in your, I said 8 forms of capital. So once your financial capital is in order, you invest in your living capital, which is your health, right? This is the natural systems that you depend on. It might be your local food shed or watershed, but certainly our bodies and our own physical health are really the best manifestation of wealth out there. It's your social capital. It's, you know, in times of stress and adversity, what's your role in the community? How valued are you? Who can you rely on for the things that you can't provide for yourself? And who can you be in service to? It's your emotional capital. How do you make sure that you don't fall apart at the first signs of adversity? How do you lean in the challenge and grind through it? It's things like your knowledge capital. Like I said, nobody knows exactly what's going to happen, but things may go the way you want or they may not, and you may lose some of that financial wealth, but you'll never lose the expertise that you've gained, the skills that you've gained. So, how do you increase your prosperity in each one of those forms of capital? And the nice part about all this is even if we are totally wrong about the timeline here and the next 20, 30, 40 years end up looking exactly like the past 40, every one of these investments is life enhancing, right? You're never going to look back and say, gosh, I wish I hadn't been a better steward of my money. Geez, I wish I hadn't gotten in better shape. Boy, I really wish I hadn't gotten more valued by my community.
You're still better off.
But of course, you know, if we're even halfway correct in some of these projections and some of these tribulations arrive the way that we project that they might, the option value of having had these investments in place before crisis arrived becomes tremendously advantageous to the folks who have taken those steps.
Well, gentlemen, you're kindred spirits. You know, we get to connect face to face every few months and I cherish that time. Maybe repeat for our listeners, because I really want them to watch the crash course. It's not quick. It's several hours of investment. I've watched it now several times. Maybe just repeat where they can access this.
Sure. Go to peakprosperity.com. That's P-E-A-K, like a mountain peak, prosperity.com. And the crash course is very easy to find. There's a tab up at the top. And for people who just want to take a shorter sample of that, we have something called the Accelerated Crash Course, 53 minutes. Hey, just watch the first 5. If it's not grabbing you, you know, all you've lost is a few minutes. And that you get to peakprosperity.com/ACC, and that'll bring you right to the Accelerated Crash Course. But I really advise people to watch the full crash course.
I do too. Because some of the best content is out in, you know, segments number 19, 20, and 21. So
thanks. All right. Well, thank you very much, Victor.
Well, thanks. Thanks, Adam. Thank you, Chris.
Thanks, Victor. It's always an honor to be with you.
Thank you.
I love that conversation with Chris Martinson and Adam Taggart. These two gentlemen have done a lot of deep analysis looking at the economy, looking at our world, how it functions. You definitely want to go out and have a look at peakprosperity.com. Watch the crash course. Honestly, it's going to change your life. In the meantime, as you're thinking about some of what we talked about today, have a spectacular rest of your weekend. Make some great things happen, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.